All right. Chairman Brad Holton, I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 11 o'clock agenda item, and that's a meeting with P.A. Taylor. Legal counsel discussion. We have an action item to consider legal services agreement with Leroy Law Offices. So with that, Carl, did you get that finalized legal services agreement? I think I just got a copy here in the last 5 minutes or so.
I don't know. I didn't check my emails right before I left.
Okay.
I don't know if I did or not.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, what you have is the latest version from Dave Leroy for Leroy Law Offices. I took the input that Carl sent via email.
Right on March 27th, I sent.
Yep. All those changes have been actually in the agreement. Mr. Leroy did make those changes in reference, and there's four changes. The first one's around civil legal services to make sure we're very specific, and these are case by cases.
Right.
And this really is the third letter of engagement with the third firm for the case by case. First one was MSBT Law, the other one's Moore, Lye, and Craft, and then this third one is now Dave Leroy for your consideration to sign. And again, this is for future, any work that we need for Mr. Leroy.
Okay.
Yeah, if I could see that.
Absolutely.
Chairman, we have another.
Was it modified? This is the last one I had.
And I don't have one.
It's apparently been modified.
So,
oh, okay. Can I look at this real quick? So it's just incorporating basically the word civil into the matter.
Yes. Yeah. Making it.
Last version that I had.
Yeah, there's some other. So I also raised the issue about just clarifying the costs, legal support fees, and related office expenses. So I assume the legal support fees are for paralegal billing, but you may want to inquire as to what all is included. Related office expenses is even more broad and could be argued to include normal office overhead, so we suggest getting clarification on that also. So, okay. I was just trying to find it all, where it was.
Paralegal.
Oh, paralegal support fees, okay. Let's see here.
The other phrase back here was just eliminated entirely.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Carl, I did send your information verbatim.
Okay.
To Mr. Leroy on that.
Okay.
You could keep that one. I have another one up here. I apologize that they sent that out. They probably did. You just didn't get to see it.
Right.
Okay. Since we gave you everything you asked.
Darn, I need to write this down as a highlight.
Okay. Yes. Let's memorialize that one, please. All right. So, discussion. How would the commission like to proceed?
Chairman, seeing that there is no objection to the revised language provided for the specialized legal services agreement, and Commissioner Brooks, I'll ask if you are ready or have any other. I move that the Board of County Commissioners signs the legal services agreement with Leroy Law Offices as presented.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimous.
Chairman, may I make a comment?
Yes.
I do want to include and highlight in there that the board has considered, and as has our conflict counsel, that this includes references to Article 18, Section 6 of the Idaho Constitution and Idaho Code Section 31.8.13. And I believe that legal counsel has provided guidelines which are have been complied with by the board.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Mr. Brooks?
I'm good, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Chairman?
Yes.
Can I just make one brief record regarding what Commissioner Van Beek said? So that what we had talked about with that process of hiring outside counsel, remember that that's for specific instances. So this is just a generalized agreement. So if there if something arises, a specific issue that you believe that you need to have Mr. Leroy work on for you, then there'll need to be a further record at that time as that comes up.
Yeah. As with the other contracts that the board is engaged
yeah.
in.
Yeah. And we discussed that process also in this.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Mr. Rath said that as well
yeah.
just a minute ago.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. And so I think there's an additional item that we'd like to discuss.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
On Friday, there was a rumor that was relayed to me that this board had been investigated by the PA of a different county. So Chief Rass and I walked up to Civil Chief Erickson's office and asked him, and he confirmed, but he didn't elaborate, instead of choosing to refer us to PA Taylor, who was not in his office at the time. So now that PA Taylor is here, as well as Chief Erickson, I'm interested to know how in the world that this board could be investigated by the PA of a different county without this board knowing about it and instead finding out by somebody else.
I'd ask first, I guess, where did the board hear that? Are you allowed to say who conveyed that information to you?
How I heard or where I heard or anything like that doesn't matter, Mr. Chairman.
So it is a very typical process, and Commissioner Van Beek from past boards can probably give you more examples as well. Is the most recent one that came through was an open meeting law allegation against the board with regards to it. Since my office represents the board, provides you with legal counsel on that aspect. Idaho Code 74-28 sub 5 defers or doesn't defer, makes it that the PA shall refer this out to a special prosecutor. Commissioner Van Beek in the past has asked my office to do that. We have sent those investigations off. Investigation is probably a weird terminology, I guess, in the public records. But you have another PA review that matter because we cannot, as me as your legal counsel, cannot provide that. So we received information from the outside PA based on the aspect. There's no action to be done, so the matter's done and over with. So from our standpoint, it's a very typical process that we do. Whenever you're dealing with the special prosecutor, Mr. Leroy probably can opine on this as well. You don't tell people what's going on. You don't want to disrupt the record. That's our ethical obligation to do that. So that's a very common practice around the state. It's what I've done many, many times. Like I said, Commissioner Van Beek had made one, and we conflicted out to a different PA completely outside of this. She had concerns of a prior board. Actions on that aspect, and we did the same thing. And so when those allegations come in, that's what the statute tells me I'm supposed to do. So that's what I've done.
Chairman, I think if we're talking about the same one, for clarification, I did make that request of your office, and then I withdrew that request because those commissioners were short-term, and I didn't want to incur additional cost to taxpayers by having that investigated. I do believe it was a valid violation, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, and we sent that out, and then by the time you said, so the matter was done.
So we want a point of.
Okay, go ahead. Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
P. Taylor, in this course of investigations like this, is it typical of the PA doing the investigation to not investigate the subject of the investigation or inquire or request any information from the subjects being the board?
I'm trying to track the question, Commissioner Brooks, is if the PA, so the first aspect is you send it off. Once again, I think you're using the terminology loosely of investigate, is I referred the matter out as we typically do. They make a determination if they want to conduct a full investigation. If they do, then I have to get a district judge to appoint them as a special prosecutor. If they look at it on its face, they can make a conclusion, but if they're not going to do any action, then the matter becomes a moot issue, is what, if I'm saying.
Sure, Mr. Chairman, I'll attempt to clarify. On what basis could the outside PA make a determination on whether he should proceed or not without actually having a discussion with anyone that was the subject of such a matter as this?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Brooks, I'm probably not tracking Alex or Carl.
So the PA, I'll clarify.
Yeah.
The PA did not reach out to anyone on this board.
So it's kind of a similar process to how we would screen like a criminal case that gets sent to a prosecutor for referral. So initially you want to look at it and say, okay, is there a crime that was committed? Obviously in this case, we're not talking about a crime, but just for analogy's sake, is there a crime that was committed? Can it be proven from what I can see here? Is it worth prosecutorial resources to and law enforcement resources to charge this crime? You can make that initial determination just by reviewing brief information. You're not always going to chat with a suspect or somebody who's been accused of a crime before making that determination. You might determine like, okay, this isn't worthwhile to pursue, so we're just going to let it die and not take any action. So in this sort of a situation with an open meeting violation, an individual reviewing that could say, yes, there's, you know, a prima facie case to be made that there was a violation, but it's not worth pursuing. So if they're not taking any action, then it's not worthwhile to contact the person or persons who may have violated the open meeting law. If you were to get past that, so for example, I screened one with like a school board or something, where it looked like on the face, yeah, there is a open meeting law violation potentially that could be proven, and I hadn't ruled out yet whether or not we should take action. So to help make that decision, I reached out to the subject of the violation complaint and got input. So in that case, it made sense to do so because I hadn't determined yet whether there was going to be action taken. But in this case, that outside prosecuting attorney was able to determine without speaking to the board that no action should be taken on his part. So if he had been unsure or if he thought, yeah, maybe action should be taken, that would have been the appropriate time to reach out to you, and then we would have had a meeting with the board and advised you as to what next steps you should take, what information to communicate, that sort of thing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Do you know why he chose not to pursue it further?
I don't.
Neither do I, Commissioner Brooks. So, I mean, that's why we conflict it out for them to make their own determinations, is I try not to interject into theirs, much like if they ask me. I've investigated county commissioners in other counties based on PA's requesting. Sometimes I've interviewed those board members, sometimes I have not, and it's but they have to keep it completely separate. We want to still be able to provide you the legal recourse and counsel what to do. I think Mr. Erickson provided you with legal counsel to make sure that this county was not doing anything wrong. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So in an instance like this, the PA that looks into it doesn't provide a follow-up report or anything like that to state why they don't find any evidence for pursuing.
In this case, they provided me with a written document. But basically, the written document, it's I receive very similar documents from the Attorney General's office. I think we've had that conversation. When there are no actions, I kind of just put them away and they're done. It's no action of any matter. It's rather than bombarding every single elected official, because I get those quite frequently. So, and it's the no actions, and to me, nothing's going to happen. So you just put them away, put them in the shred bin. Basically, I mean, other than protecting them from a public record, from a public record, so. But yeah, if the board would like that, I'd be more than happy to provide you a copy of it.
I'd love to see it.
Okay. I'll get it to you this afternoon or this later.
So what disturbs me is that state code, you are our legal counsel. So you are taking an allegation and working against your client without notification is how I see that it shook out. You took this allegation and you said, yeah, I need to see if they're guilty or not, but you and I are a client attorney. You would think there would be some kind of notification of notice that we're under investigation, but you chose not to do that. Why?
I'm following what the code says. Idaho Code 74-208, subsection 5. It says when the PA is disqualified from providing, or the PA is responsible for any open meeting law allegations, excluding the Board of County Commissioners. Subsequently, it says that I shall, the word shall, seek to have a special prosecutor appointed per Idaho Code 31-2603. When you're implicating the matter of special prosecutor, this is, I didn't design the statute, Commissioner Holton. It's the way this system is structured, is I have to separate one function from another function, which is why I had Mr. Erickson trying to provide the legal counsel to make sure the board was protected, while I had to do what the statute required me to do of the other aspect, and to shall seek another PA to review the matter.
And I will state for the
Go ahead. So, yeah, it's a quandary for me as well in that aspect of those two duties and functions.
And Mr. Commissioner, Mr. Chairman, Commission, and I will state unequivocally that there was a complete separation between what I was doing advising you and what the prosecutor did, so that we didn't have any carryover. It is absolutely fact that I didn't even know that he had referred this out to outside counsel until just Monday or Tuesday of last week. I had no idea that he did. I wondered about it often, but it was not my purview to get involved with whatever else was going on. And I think I advised him that procedure that you know, we talked about what the procedure is, and I told you that, well, he may have to refer it out, but I said, I don't know what his plans are, and I did not know what his plans were, and I never knew what had happened. So we did keep complete separation between what was being discussed with you by me and what was going on with the other part of referring that out. I had no idea whatsoever what had been done there, and I shouldn't have.
Yeah. I think Mr. Erickson conveyed to you as well is there was concerns about a matter, gave you a course of how to rectify that matter, and if it was rectified, then we wouldn't even have to go down this path. But I don't think the board took any action on this particular matter. So, but I'll send the memo.
Chairman, sorry.
So is the complainant a part of public information, or is it totally confidential? The person or entities that lodged the complaint against the board, is it public information?
Public information.
Can you make that part and parcel of the information this afternoon?
I don't know if the person has put it in writing. That's the problem. So, yeah, we should be able to make that. Yep. Go ahead, Carl.
No.
Okay.
Chairman.
Yes.
And the thing that's difficult for me, having traveled through some interesting waters in the last couple of years, but a complaint like that, one would expect that it could potentially be weaponized and become a public document without the opportunity for rebut. Or I am disappointed that there's not more of an effort for repaired relationships. I think this board has done a good job of working with and trying to show leadership in policy development and bridging some gaps. This, to me, does not represent that kind of a good faith effort.
Mr. Brooks?
Do you have anything else?
I'm thinking, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. it's interesting that this board didn't find any need to proceed, and even with an independent investigator, they basically concurred with what the board's position was, that there wasn't anything to rectify. I'm kind of frustrated at the moment.
Chairman?
Yes?
When PA Taylor provides that document, I would submit that it's fair for the board to be able to rebut and talk about the information or misinformation as it's presented.
Okay. I think that's fair enough. We can set up a different time then to meet with the document and discuss that. Anything else? All righty.
Thank you very much.
All right. We will adjourn then. Thank you.